T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You guys know him from Sunday mornings on CBS Sports Radio. Also, his show for Buck and Kincaid, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. He is John Kincaid. John, great to talk to you, man.
In a while, and Dustin, I'm sure, has got his hair looking on point today. I'm trying to
be like you, man. I want to be the silver fox when I get older like John Kincaid.
Well, you already are the fox, so you've got that part of it. So now you just got to go to the next. Now you just got to take it to the next level. Radio Row was a great challenge. Just to know that there were those young bucks, like 20s and 30s guys, yeah, running around on Radio Row, and just to look my best every day was a little bit of an extra challenge. But I won. I won.
You know, you're the sharpest cat in the ATL. You know that, John Kincaid.
I try. What can you do? Tonight I got to hang out with Shaq. I'll tell you all about that later.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about that.
Hire me. All I want to do is take a nap. I just said to my wife, all I want to do is take a nap. But Shaq's Funhouse is calling tonight in Atlanta.
Yes, yes, I need to hear about this
old
in a minute.
I am too old for that. So you ready for Super Bowl or what, guys?
Oh, I'm fired up, man. I'm so looking forward to this game. And by the way, I'm tired of hearing of all these New Orleans Saints people bitching about the call. Like, we get it. Oh. It was a bad call. Mm-hmm. Can we move on? Can Sean Payton grow up a little bit and stop wearing the clown shirt?
I didn't understand any of it because the commissioner, and I just went back 3 years. The commissioner never has commented on a bad call in a game in the last 3 years. So when people were like, well, the commissioner's hiding out on this. No, he wasn't. He was doing what he normally always does. He does not comment on these things. He does not undermine the officials. The head of officials does call coaches, or the head of officials does consult with the team and say afterwards, yeah, we blew that. Yes, that didn't go right. And they did that immediately after the game with Sean Payton. They didn't wait. They didn't make them wait a day. They didn't make them wait 2 days. So the narrative was totally fake. And when the lawsuit fell through yesterday on the New Orleans fans, I couldn't be more happy. Because I got to tell you, even as an Eagles fan myself, but being in Atlanta for 24 years, these cretins put up billboards of like 28-3 in Atlanta to taunt Atlanta fans after they blew, yeah, the Super Bowl. And then their marching band, which they had this little marching band, had formation of 28-3 the next time they played the Falcons. So these people celebrate and revel in the misery of others. So I think it's beautiful that last year their season ended in the Minnesota Miracle, and I think it's even more delicious the way it went down this year. Can't stand it, don't like it, don't have respect for that kind of behavior. So, hey, I think what goes around comes around in the NFL.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, John. It's at this point, I said last night, I was like, get over it. It's okay. Just let it go. And I know that's tough for someone like Drew Brees, because this weekend he's just going to be thinking about the Super Bowl that he could be playing in. But there are other examples and other reasons for why they're not going to that game outside of those calls as well. You know, don't let Jared Goff throw for 300 yards in the second half.
Yeah, and don't. How about this? Remember, they gave the ball back to the Rams, could have played the defense there. They got the kickoff in overtime, which everybody tells me was so unfair that New England got the ball and scored. Well, the Saints got the ball, and Drew Brees ended up on his backside and threw an interception. So you get to play both sides of the ball. So you get to play defense, too, and the Rams' defense actually put their offense in a position to win them that game and get them to the Super Bowl. So enough of it all. I've had enough of New Orleans, seriously. And I love New Orleans, and it's my favorite Super Bowl city of all, absolutely. But I am so tired of the whining. Let's get on to the teams that are actually playing.
New Orleans is one of my favorite cities in the world.
Awesome.
I mean, it is awesome. Complete debauchery and fun food and just fun all around. And when you've got a football game surrounding it, it just makes the town on fire. It's electric. I totally agree with you. I've been to two.
Can I get like 3 nights of it though, Dustin? I
mean, that's it.
Can I get like 3 nights?
Right. That's it. That's all I need.
It's sort of like when we go to Vegas, my wife, yeah, and I, we go to Vegas, we do 4 nights.
Yeah, that's
and
a lot.
By the time we get on the plane to go back to Atlanta, we're like, had a great time, but now we're ready to go home. And then the next time we go, we're glad to be back. there's a sweet spot for New Orleans. It's either two or three nights, and I can definitely do three because I'm not a heavy drinker, so I can do that.
John Kincaid is with us. John's the best. John, of course, hosts Buck and Kincaid, 680 The Fan. You guys have been doing that since, what, 1995 or 94, 93?
2000. We will pass. How about this? In the Entercom family of stations,
yeah,
we will pass Mike and the Mad Dog this August. And so we are going to have a special 31 for 31 done on that. The little engine that could, Buck and Kincaid in the South. Well, it's good because much like Bull has learned, you find a local legend that played the game, and then you just milk off of that for like two decades. It can really work. And if Andy Roth has any brain in his head, and I know that he does, he'll make sure that that happens. He'll bleed that dry.
I don't know that the Bull would agree with that, but I'll take it.
There you go.
I'll take it. I've been riding his coattails for the first couple of years, so I'll take that.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. John Kincaid, of course, with us, does the Shaqcast. We're going to get to that in a minute, talk about the Funhouse and hear about these stories from tonight. But just back to this game for a minute. We've got Tom Brady and Belichick versus McVay and Goff. It's the old versus the new. John, I know the public are all over betting the Patriots. Like, I'm not betting against Tom and Bill in this game. What say you?
I am also believing that the Patriots are going to win. I do not want that to happen. And Atlanta has a real rooting interest because Atlanta hates the Patriots after 2 years ago, losing the Super Bowl the way they did. They don't want to see that. And then the two running backs in the game both played at the University of Georgia, the two feature backs with Sony Michel and with Todd Gurley. So there is a lot of love there for both of those players. And then Sean McVay, an Atlanta kid. And, in fact, the high school my daughter goes to, Sean McVay was our last state championship-winning quarterback at that high school, at Marist High School in Atlanta, 15 years ago, guys. 15 years ago, winning the state title at my daughter's high school, and now he's coaching the Super Bowl, which is ridiculous. And then, his dad ran the local ABC television station affiliate and the local ABC radio affiliate, and I'm one of the biggest stations in town. So I knew his dad. I knew who Sean was when he was in high school, and it's amazing. So there's a rooting interest. We were 680 the Ram all week long in Atlanta. We are all on board with this. We do not want to see the Patriots win this game. Believe the Patriots will. I think they're going to be pissed after the last few years, the outing they had against the Falcons, the outing they had against the Eagles. I do believe that Jared Goff showed me something in the beginning of the NFC title game, that he can get spooked on a big stage. And that's something that Nick Foles doesn't get. That's something that Matt Ryan really doesn't get. And I think that Jared Goff, if he has any string of possessions like his first three in the NFC title game when there was a turnover and 2-3 and outs, I have a feeling that if you do that against Brady, if there's three possessions in a row like that, you lose the Super Bowl and you may lose it by multiple scores.
And to your point, I go back to the Rams and Eagles game, primetime game. I think it was a Sunday night game.
Blew him out.
And they blew him out, and he looked like he was just seeing ghosts. And for the first time, I was like, yeah, I don't know about this Jared Goff. And I'm thinking, same thing as you. Super Bowl, brightest lights, biggest stage. Is Goff going to be deer in the headlights, or is he going to show up like he did in the second half? And I think you're right. If he just lets this thing get out of hand in the first half, like, Brady and Belichick are going to sit on the football. I mean, you get a two-score lead, they'll run the ball and bleed the clock.
Well, I saw a number the other day, and because I'm a total dork, I was looking at it. And if you have three consecutive possessions where you do not score against the Patriots – your winning percentage in the last five seasons, because I can only go back five because I had to watch General Hospital, so I had work to do. I think your winning percentage is like 250, something like that. If you go three possessions at any time in the game in a row where the New England defense shuts you down, keeps you away from points, you're winning like 25% of the time. So you really have to take care of it. You got to do what the Eagles did last year. And the Eagles kept pushing they were pushing that pedal to the floor, and they were throwing it down the field, and they were being ultra-aggressive, and they kept pushing it the whole game. And so that's exactly what the Rams have to do. Mm-hmm. I just don't trust Goff to be able to make – I think he'll make enough one or two bad decisions that'll end up costing his team.
Yeah, you wonder how much is him and how much is the system. You know, we talk about Baker a lot on this station, and with Baker, you know, you're not along for the ride. Baker is the ride. I just don't know if Jared Goff is the ride for the Rams, you know?
I got to raise my hand, too, because I'll be one of those people that admits it. I've respected the hell out of Baker Mayfield as a quarterback. I would have stayed away from him myself because I would have worried about the leadership stuff. I would have worried about those kind of things from you know, getting into fights with the other team, you know, going like what he did to Georgia in the Rose Bowl game where he's taunting the Georgia players right before halftime, and then he got his butt kicked in the second half. I would have doubted. I would have gone, is this guy mature enough? Well, guess what? Baker Mayfield showed at least a glimpse this year that he would make guys like me who would doubt him wrong.
I loved him. You know, I loved him coming out.
Oh, you did.
He was my top guy.
I saw the story on Twitter.
Yeah, and so
you never got off that bandwagon either, and that's something you should be proud of. You as a player may look at it differently. I looked at it as a guy who really wasn't, as the Georgia player said to him, humble yourself.
Yeah.
I saw him as a guy who was going to come in and act like he'd already arrived when he got to the NFL. I was wrong about that.
He's been absolutely
exceptional. And John Dorsey is the big thing. And I told my Sunday audience over and over again, the minute Dorsey arrived, I said, I promise you, by the time we talk about the 2020 season, we will talk about the Browns being the class of the NFC North. I don't think it's 20. I'm not necessarily sure it's the 2020 season now. It may be the 2019 season after I see what goes on during free agency and stuff.
I like to hear that. You know, I think the humble,
he's amazing.
The humble yourself thing, it comes from, like, I think it's an outsider perspective. We've learned this about Baker.
Okay.
He doesn't care about anything outside his team and his guys. And that's why the Hugh Jackson thing went down and in the Todd Haley stuff. Once those guys were out of the building, he's like, yeah, screw you. You're not part of our team anymore. Like, we don't care about you. And I think it comes across to others from an outside perspective. Even the Ohio State planting of the flag, it's like he didn't care about that. His teammates loved it. And as long as his teammates love it and respect it, then that's all that matters to him.
And that's cool. And that's it's different than I live.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's part of it is that we all have a weakness sometimes to my friends, my wife, people will say to me, you expect people to act like you do. You expect people to treat you like you treat them. And that's a weakness for me. I personally wouldn't want to live my life that way. That's just me. I don't want to trash somebody when they walk out the door. That's not me. I want to find a way. I'll restrain comments before I'll trash somebody who used to be a teammate who's left the door. But that's just me. And if that fires him up and that empowers him and he uses it positively for him, I still don't dig it, but I understand it. I understand that people are motivated by their own unique classifications. I've learned that a little bit over the years.
I don't know exactly what happened, John. We're talking with John Kincaid. I don't know exactly what happened there, but it was personal between Baker and Hugh to the point where I don't think if it was just a normal, you know, Baker and Hugh had a good relationship and he's fired. Like, I don't think he's doing those things. I don't think he's making those comments out in the public.
All I'm going to say is this, people will say back to the 28-3 in the Super Bowl that Kyle Shanahan had the most jackassery plan in the world for the Falcons offense the rest of that game, where if they had just run the ball four more plays, if they had not thrown the ball on one play, if Devontae Freeman, who I had on the air today at the Super Bowl, had one block, you know, they may have won the game. And Shanahan was on Radio Row today. We saw him. He avoided me like the plague. You would have thought I was handing out an STD or something, the way he was running away from our table. But, I mean, I talked to every one of his players over in this period since that Super Bowl. None of them will trash him. None of them will come out with an opinion like that. I can tell there's guys who want to, but they just won't. They just won't. And I think that's healthier. I think it's better. But then again, that's just me. So, again, it's me expecting people to do it like I think I will.
All right, John Kincaid is with us. He also hosts the Shatcast with Shaquille O'Neal podcast. And
yeah, I'm along for that ride, dude.
I know. I know you.
If there ever was a Robin to a Batman, this is clearly that situation.
So you said tonight you're going to the Funhouse. I've got a buddy who's good friends with Ron Harper, and he texts me. He's like, I've been to the Funhouse with Shaq. So you got to tell me about the Funhouse and what's going down.
Okay, the Funhouse is down in Miami. They had it at the Miami Music Fest, and now they're having it tonight at the Super Bowl. But it's at the Braves Stadium, which is where 680 The Fan, my studios, are located, and then where we taped the Shaqcast. And so he literally rented out the area called the Battery. And if you ever come, if the Indians ever, you know, come on in here, you got to come on in. They were here 2 years ago. You guys should have come over. And we could put you up in the studios, do the show here. So he literally rents out the entire Battery, which is a bunch of bars and a restaurant. It's a great place to hang out. And there's going to be DJs. Then there's going to be Shaq performing as a DJ. Migos is performing, Atlanta's own. It's going to be a night full of debauchery. And the thing is that Shaq sends me the run of show. He wants me there. He goes, I want you there, buddy. I want you there. Because there's going to be PR beforehand. Shaq is supposed to go on at 1 a.m. I said to him, do you want the squarest white man in the South with standing there at 1 a.m. when you go on? And I said, and Shaq, I know you. If it's 1 a.m., that means you're going on at 1:25. You've never been on time for anything in your life. I said, and then Migos goes on after them, which is going to be crazy. This thing is free booze, open bars, food everywhere, brought in from some of Atlanta's finest restaurants, carnival games, you know, a DJ's cranking all the time. It is going to be fun, but this is a young man's game. You guys should have done the show from my studios today, and I could have been in bed tonight. That's the way I'm looking at it, because I'm going to add nothing to Shaq's mystique being there any amount of the time that I'm there tonight.
I'd kill for the Funhouse.
Yeah, you look like you'd be a fun power agent or something.
Yes, you probably stay up past midnight. You probably do these things. I mean, this Super Bowl week is killing me. If you can hear it a little bit in my voice, just doing Radio Row and interviews and parties at night and everything. The partying for us, you know, might be like going out for dinner after church on Saturday night. But partying is not in my repertoire much anymore. It really just isn't there. But I got my Super Bowl special tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. that runs on the network from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and special day and time and instead of Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, I'm getting through this week on fumes right now. I got to regroup, and now you got to go hang with Shaq. He is a blessing and a curse is all I will tell you. The man is a total blessing. But, man, on nights like this, it's a curse.
Well, John,
you're almost at the finish line.
By the way, again, if Andy Roth ever steps out of line, you know where to call, because I know all the secrets of his climb to the top. And let me just say, I can damage him.
Sounds good, John. Appreciate the time, buddy.
Appreciate it, John.
All right, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.